The Lord doesn't call us just to seek information in life. What he wants us to do is to seek out wisdom. Last week I spoke, or a couple weeks ago I spoke on forgiveness. Last week I spoke on having a life that's thriving as opposed to a life that's just surviving. Debbie touched on that a little bit this morning, and it's going to be one of my future messages about, in all things, be grateful. Have a thankful heart. Put a smile on your face and be joyous. These are all basically principles that we have in our lives that help us become better people, that help us to grow. And I don't think that the Lord put me or you on this earth to stay stagnant. Who here has ever been around stagnant water? It stinks, doesn't it? I mean, it's like from here. We say it stinks from here to high heaven. I don't know the difference between low heaven and high heaven, but wherever high heaven is, it stinks all the way up to there. Or as my granddaughter and I would say to each other, we love each other to God and back. Okay? That's how much it stinks. And I have to think that if we live a life of complacency, a life that's become stagnant, it starts to smell to the Lord. Because he wants us to have the greater things, to do something greater. And one of those principles that he tells us to do is to seek wisdom. People don't seem to do that as much today as they once did. They seem to rely on, you know, the TV or the internet for the answers in their life. But God said that there is basically two different types of wisdom. There is worldly wisdom, which is based on knowledge of anything and everything within the world. But then there is also the wisdom that God gives us, which that we can have through the sight of our holy spiritual eye. I call it through the sight of the Holy Spirit. Now, the big difference between that is that God views worldly wisdom as foolishness. Isn't that amazing? Now think about that. Truly think about it. Think about some of the great philosophers and some of the great thinkers that we've had in our world that we really put up there on a pedestal. We think of Socrates, Aristotle, George Carlin. Okay, there's a couple of you that are awake. That's good. Just wanted to make sure. Some of you are going, George Carlin? No. You have to throw something like that in every now and then just to make sure that you're still with me. But you think about minds like that. And here's what Scripture says about it. We find it in the first book of Corinthians. We find it in chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Do you understand that? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And he actually takes the wisdom from the wise in their own craftiness. In other words, he will take their wisdom and use it against them to show them exactly how foolish they are. Because typically the wisdom of this world will be to look towards yourself, to elevate yourself, to do better, to get this, to get a place of prominence, to find out how to obtain power, how to get more knowledge. Well, that's not always wisdom. Remember when Solomon was faced with the two ladies that said that this is their son? Because one of their sons had passed away during the night. And he looked into them and he said, you know what, grab my sword. And he started, he says, I will cut this child in half and give half to you and half to the other mother. Well, do you think that was an earthly wisdom? That wasn't an earthly wisdom. The earthly wisdom would have just said, well, let's see. Well, we better do a DNA test. And, you know, we're going to take weeks for that. We're going to do all these kinds of things. But he didn't have DNA tests back then. He had to go upon what he felt the Lord was telling him to do. And so he gets this knife or gets this sword and is prepared to slice the child in two, of which I don't think he would have done. I don't know. I had a hard time thinking that he would slice that child in two. But the mother of the child spoke up and says, no, give it. Give him to this other lady. And he awarded him to her. That was wisdom that he sought. It was wisdom that he always sought. Because he said that wisdom to him was more precious than gold or jewels or rubies. It was the most precious gift that anybody could have. So why is it in our lives, and I'm totally not going by my notes and I don't know why in our lives do we end up trying to guide our lives, direct our lives, determine where our lives are going by our own circumstances and our own past experiences and knowledge rather than turning to God and saying, Lord, give me the knowledge. Give me the wisdom. This should be something actually that we ask each and every day for. Do we realize that? Part of your prayer every morning, like we talked about before, isn't only, Lord, give me a forgiving heart to those that have not even trespassed against me yet. Let me forgive them in advance, because did not the Lord forgive you in advance? Some people saying, yeah, maybe. Yes, he did. Did not the Lord have a joyous heart? He didn't worry, but I think he was joyous. I don't think that the Lord had people surround him because he was a Danny Downer, that he was a gloomsayer. He was there to elevate the people, to let them know that they are worthy of the love of the Lord. Solomon said that we are to seek the wisdom from on high, not of this world. It is the number one thing that you should seek. He said anything else that we do, if you read Ecclesiastes, is what? It's vanity. It's pure vanity. So what do we need? I guess I should go back to my notes. In order to gain godly wisdom, there are seven things that we need to do. First of all, we have to realize that we have two options. We can either seek it, or we can face the consequences of living without it. You have two choices when it comes to seeking out wisdom. Seek it from the Lord or seek it from the world. And if you seek it from the Lord, you are a wise person. But it's not just the seeking, you have to implement. How many times do people get a college degree and they never even go to work in the field that they studied? I was a phys ed major. Yeah. I was. I was a phys ed major. I was going to go on and go into physical rehabilitation in sports therapy. I have never done that. Probably 95% of the people out there never use their college degree in the exact field that they studied. Isn't that amazing? Why? Why not? Because they did not apply the information that they got to go do what they studied for. And it's that same thing that happens in a Christian life. We can find out what things are wise to do, but unless we implement the wisdom, the knowledge that we get from the Lord, it does us no good. We know from Scripture that we are to seek out the counsel of the wise. I try to. If I am not wise or knowledgeable in a subject when it comes to especially about anything and especially about things that pertain to the Lord, am I going to go to somebody that is an unbeliever and say, what should I do in this situation? If a Christian couple is having marital problems, should they go to a secular counselor or should they go to a counselor that's based biblically? Number one, able to do it. Not just from the fact that they're a Christian, But two, that they're not only Christian, but they are also able to be a counselor. It's a big difference. Because if you go to a counselor that doesn't believe in God, they're not going to give you biblical principles in which to rebuild your relationship. I once heard a psychologist that was a Christian that would ask the couple, says, are you believers? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in the Lord? And whether they said yes or whether they said no, the treatment was the same. Because he knew that the principles that the Lord has given us through his word apply to both believers and non-believers. He was a wise man. True? Your car broke down. You're not going to take it to your dentist to fix it, are you? I think it's got a bad tooth. I think it has a cavity back there behind piston number 4. The world offers many other pursuits that cater to our desires. It offers security. It offers wealth, friendship, health, popularity, prominence, prestige, and family relationships. Those are the things a lot of times that we put faith in, that we try to draw our knowledge from, but it's not that way. In Proverbs 2, 4 through 7, it says that we are to search for wisdom as you would for silver or hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to respect and to know the Lord God. For all wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. Notice that? Common sense? You ever know people that they're as smart as a tack, but they have no common sense whatsoever? I mean, I call it street sense. They couldn't survive out there if their life depended upon it. They just can't reason anything out. They could tell you what the square root of pi is, you know, and how to figure the circumference of the moon and the distance between the stars and all that, but they haven't a clue when it comes to navigating through life. They're totally lost. It says, God gives helpful advice to everyone who obeys him and protects all of those who live as they should. Why? They seek out the wisdom of God. So the first thing that we need to do is to seek that wisdom. Ask for it. Search for it. One of my scriptures that I love is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. There's only one place that you're going to be able to seek and find the wisdom of God, and that is by seeking out him. By understanding what his kingdom is. Number two thing we need to do, we need to meditate upon God's word. There are many in here that have a very good practice each and every day of taking time out in their day to read some scripture and really thinking about what the scripture means. There's others that are here that say, okay, I need to create that habit. I'm going to read 5 minutes. They read 5 minutes. They have no idea what they read, and they just go on their day. Okay, I did that test. Now I'm going to go on to the next part. I challenge you, if you are like that, to take 3 minutes, take 2 minutes, read half as much, and meditate twice as much. Think about what the scripture is that the Lord had you read. I don't care if it's a prepared walking you through the Bible in a year or 2 years or 10 years or a millennium. Whatever it happens to be, take time to think about the words of the Lord. See, because God gave us his word that we have now in the form of his thoughts, his desires, his ways, and it's in the Bible. If we have a question about anything, is there any part in the Bible that could not possibly answer what you're going through? It's all in there. All we have to do is seek it, search for it. So we need to meditate upon it. That's why we should begin every day with asking the Lord for his direction. Lord, what is it that you have me to do today? Wendy and her husband came by the other night, and I came close to bringing it today. They had a movie about a man that God talks to every day. He's from India. And God leads him and directs him. His whole day is all about God leading him and directing him everywhere he goes. He does not take one step that day until God directs him where to go. He hears the voice of, he calls him Daddy. He goes, I haven't heard from Daddy yet. And it was amazing because it was being filmed and the film crew had no idea what was going on. And the guy got up and says, he told me to go down this road here and go down here and I'll come to a bridge. And as soon as I come to a bridge, go over it and go to this part of the village, because you've got to remember, they're in India. And I'm to speak to the witch doctor there. He's never been to this area before. Sure enough, they go down this road. They go to the left. They see a bridge. They go to the right. They go to this house. There's the witch doctor. And he is not converted, but his wife is converted. It's amazing. It was an amazing movie. I mean, it was really, you're just like, whoa. And it was all filmed in real time. No actors whatsoever. But you see, by meditating upon God, you start to hear God. You start to hear his instructions and how he directs you. When we read the Bible, we're going to come across principles that we see in the Bible that we need to heed. True? If you're going down the road and you're traveling down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, all of a sudden you see this big orange sign that says road work ahead, speed limit 45. If you continue to go 70 miles an hour through that speed limit, what's going to happen? Yeah, exactly right. You know that CHP that always sits there with the lights that are on? If you go buzzing past him at 70 miles an hour through that zone, you're going to get a ticket. Why? You did not heed the warning signs. Right there in your face, big, orange, bright, kind of looks like Johnny's jacket right now. You can't miss it. But there are signs and there are principles in the Bible that we come across. And when we see them, guess what we need to do? We need to obey them and heed them. Number three thing is we need to ask for wisdom. Amazing, isn't it? Well, why? I'm 70 years old, Pastor. I've been a believer since I was 20, and I still don't feel like I'm any wiser today than when I was 20 years old. Have you asked the Lord for wisdom? I didn't know I had to. I remember my mom, when she was with us, she was going through some tough times physically, and I said, Mom, and she was feeling a little bitter. And I said, Mom, do you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? Is it living inside of you? Because if it is, you should be getting more tender, not more bitter. She goes, well, I think I do. I said, did you ever ask for the Holy Spirit to come alive inside you? Did you ever ask the Lord? She goes, I didn't know I had to. She'd never had a pastor that said, not only do you need to ask for forgiveness, but you need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Lord's not going to deny you something. But you know what? There's a lot of if you will, then I will in the Bible. And we need to ask for the Holy Spirit as well as we need to ask for wisdom. It says in James 1, 5, and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. He will give it to you in abundance. Would you not love to have the wisdom of Solomon? Anybody here would not love to have that type of wisdom? We need to seek it out, meditate upon it, but you need to start asking for it. Ask for the gifts. It's not a selfish thing. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So you see, you can't just ask for it. You have to ask for it with faith that you will receive it. Start proclaiming it. Well, some people say, well, Brother Marty, if I start proclaiming that I'm a wise person, am I not lying? I said, no, there's a difference between lying and having a statement of faith. Don't say, I hope someday that the Lord will give me wisdom. Pray, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you've given me this day. Because, see, when you pray, knowing God is going to answer a prayer, it takes hold right away. And each and every day you become wiser and wiser and wiser. Ask knowing that you're going to get it. Obey how God works in the world. It's pretty amazing that how the world sees itself compared to what God says. Here's a couple of examples. The book of Proverbs tells us that wisdom comes from observing the results of various lifestyles. And it says that wise men are cautious and turn away from evil. But fools are arrogant and careless. Backs that up where it says that is in Proverbs 14:60. It says, only a stupid fool is never cautious. So be extra careful and stay out of trouble. You ever know people that continually get in the same trouble over and over and over and over? Why? They haven't learned. They haven't learned to exercise some wisdom. Says in Proverbs that even ants teach us the importance of working diligently for our provisions, and laziness leads to poverty. The unfortunate part is today, it seems like we're living in a society that's almost advocating don't work hard. We'll bring you up to the same social status. You don't have to work hard to get it. But the Lord says the poor you will have with you always. But also Scripture says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I'm not saying that we should not help to take care of our fellow person that is in a dire strait. But for somebody that is capable of working, capable of providing for their family, to do nothing is not wise. It says here in Proverbs 6:6-11, you lazy people can learn by watching an anthill. Ants don't have leaders, but they store up food during the harvest season. And how long will you lie there doing nothing at all? When are you going to get up and stop sleeping? Sleep a little while, doze a little, fold your hands and twiddle your thumbs. Suddenly, everything is gone, as though it had been taken by an armed robber. That's in the Proverbs. The Bible helps us understand God's perspective and leads us to make wise choices that produces positive results. That's what God's wisdom does for us. Number six, we need to heed godly counsel. Like I said, if I had my car broken down, I'm not going to go take it to the dentist to fix it. If I have something going on within my life that needs the touch of God, advice, counseling, I'm going to go seek somebody's counsel that has been there, done that, is a wise enough person, and is willing to teach me what's wrong and show me. But unfortunately, a lot of times we'll call up the psychic hotline, like I said last week, or we'll call a friend who's not a believer at all, and we'll pour our tears out into a cup of wine or a cup of beer for them and complain. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to get counsel. Counsel from wise people. It's one of the reasons why I hear this all the time, and I've told you, I just have such a hard time when I see a church have a split times of worship. And they call it contemporary and traditional. What that means in code is old people, young people. It's exactly what it means for the old folks and for the young people. And what separates it is the music. And what's so sad about that is this. The young never get the chance to learn the wisdom from the elders. And the elders don't get to exercise their patience on the young. And so what you end up having is a segregated church. When the Lord says that we are to fit together, tightly jointed, worshiping as one. How do you worship as one when you separate yourself from within? Doesn't make any sense to me. We have to, as elders, we have to be tolerant of the young as they're coming up. Young, we need to seek out. There's hundreds of years of wisdom. I'm not saying anybody in this church is over 100 years old, but collectively there is hundreds of years of wisdom from the people in this church that we can draw upon. And I know sometimes the elders look at the young and just go, I see where you're going. I know what you're heading into. If you just listen to me this much, you don't have to go into that. I can help you out. Ask me. Please, ask me. Because here's one thing I also know about the elders of the church. I'm not going to say it's in this church because I don't believe it's in this church. But elders in a lot of other churches out there feel like here's what happens. You get to a certain age and you get pushed aside. You're not relevant anymore. The worship style has changed. We need to have all younger, more hip people in there. And they're just crying out to be of use, to feel wanted. That's, and there's just way too much there not to tap into. We as believers should never make anybody feel that they're unwanted or not of any use to anybody. So that goes along with the next one. Number seven, I call it associating with the wise. You will become the person you will be within the next few years by the people you associate with, the books you read, the scripture, the music you listen to, the TV shows. If you want to gain wisdom, what do you have to do? Seek it amongst people that have what? Wisdom. You guys got it. Court's over. That's it. I always told my kids, if you wanted to become a smoker or a drug user, all you got to do is just hang around them long enough, you will become a smoker or a drug user. True? If you want to use really foul language, hang around them. You're going to start using those four-letter words. Some of them you're going to start to put into a sentence together. Conjugate them with if, ands, buts. If you want to seek out wisdom and have wisdom, seek and counsel and associate with wise people. Proverbs 13:20, and I'm just about done here, says, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around and associating with fools. Ooh, sometimes the people that we hang around with are not going in the same direction that you want to go. And I'm not saying that you're to be mean with them, but for your own spiritual growth, for your own spiritual wisdom, for your own spiritual maturity, sometimes we're going to have to say, you know what? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child, and I did childish things. But when I became more mature, this is really what 1 Corinthians talks about. I put away my childish things. Why? So I could go on and become more wise, more loving, more godly. Not to feel superior, but because that's where God's calling me. Wisdom is a choice that begins with a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that increases the more that we rely upon Him. So if we want to be wise, we have to start to develop a burning passion to gain more wisdom. Beware of the ideas and the situations and the pitfalls that this world has to offer. Because the world tells us that our time is short, so we need to live for today. When I was young, it says, if you can't love the one you want, then love the one you're with. Remember the song? Don't be angry. Don't be sad. Nah. Live for the Lord. Avoid the pitfalls that this world has in store. So in reality, knowing our time on earth is limited, that ought to motivate us. Literally motivate us to correct our behaviors that we don't like. We can all look at ourselves and know the certain parts about our bodies, certain parts about our mind, certain part about our walk with the Lord that we know we fall short. If you look honestly at your own life, you don't really need to have somebody else point it out to you. And we need to start living wisely, seeking out people that have gone there and done that and have overcome and come out better on the other side. Why? So that we too can come out better on the other side. So that when our day does come, the Lord will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.